Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you're on a boat out in the middle of the sea, there's no place to go if something goes wrong. Think of all the cruise ship horror stories that have been in the news the past couple of years and the nightmarish situations those folks faced. When there's a fire on board, there's no place to go to get away from it. If the engines die or there's a power failure, you can't call the repairman. When sickness starts to spread and overtake the ship, there's no place to go to avoid it. All around you is just water, maybe as far as the eye can see, dividing you from land, separating you from others, and threatening to swallow you up. On land, it's different, right? There's usually some place you can go if something goes wrong. If a tornado threatens, those folks in Tornado Alley have shelters that they can take refuge in and be protected. If a hurricane nears the coast or flooding threatens, you can evacuate inland and get away from the worst of it. Or if there's fire or power problems, there are people you can call for help and who are ready to come quickly. But when you're out on the water, there's no place to go. When you're out on the water and all you can see is water on all four sides, then what? Well, then you are exactly where Jesus wants you to be. That when you have no place to go, you go to Him. And so we heard in the Holy Gospel today of the disciples in a boat out on the Sea of Galilee. Some of them at least were experienced fishermen, experienced on being out on the water and how to handle it. But the storm that arose that day was a doozy, even more than they could handle. We're not told everything that happened in the exact sequence of things, but undoubtedly they tried their best to handle the situation, doing what they had always done when storms arose and what they knew needed to be done. But still they found themselves in danger against a storm, or maybe it was a superstorm, like what devastated New Jersey and New York a couple of years ago. And it was too much for them. There was nothing they could do, and they had no place to go. So finally, they go to Jesus. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" they ask. It's a plea for help disguised under an accusation. And so it's a plea for help without having to humble themselves or admit their weakness. Because we don't like to humble ourselves or admit we need help or cannot do something. That's why if you ask a child to help you move something, they will always try to carry the biggest thing. Or why men, it's usually men, right, on this Father's Day, in pre-GPS days would rather drive around lost for half an hour before stopping and asking directions. It's a pride thing, a self-sufficiency thing, an I can do it thing, which in worldly matters, maybe yes, maybe no, but in spiritual matters, There's no maybe about it. A definite no. And in spiritual matters, pride, self-sufficiency, and I can do it is deadly. And so a spiritual stubbornness in us needs to be killed so that we have no place to go but to Jesus. And you don't have to be on a boat. God did it to Job. Job truly had no place to go. All his possessions got wiped out. All his children were killed. His wife turned against him, and his friends were no help. For they all got together with Job, and their attitude was, okay, let's figure this out. Let's get a handle on it, get our minds around it, and fix it. But they couldn't. Every attempt failed. I've been there. You? So finally the disciples go to Jesus. He is the anti-disciple. They are in a tizzy. He is sleeping. They are worried. He is calm. So they wake him up. And you can just imagine the scene. Jesus looks at them, shakes his head a little, and calls to the wind and the sea, okay, thank you, that's enough. Be still. And then he asks those disciples, have you still no faith? Well, they had faith. They did. Just in the wrong place. They had faith in themselves. They needed to learn there's a better place to put your faith. The only place, really. They had to learn there's a better one to rely on instead of yourself. The only one, really. The one who even the wind and sea obey. The storm humbled them. Jesus strengthened them. For the very reason Jesus was in the boat with them was that he cared that we were perishing. His very presence was the answer to their question, don't you care? But I don't mean the fact that he was in the boat instead of someplace on the shore. I mean the fact that the very Son of God had become flesh and was dwelling with us, living with us in our sin, our weakness, our stubbornness, our sinfulness, in our peril and danger. His presence in the world proved that he cared and that he would do everything necessary to save us who are perishing, even be swallowed up for us by death. Don't you care that we are perishing? What a question! Jesus does nothing but care. His teaching, his miracles, his compassion, and his rebuking, his discipline, and the troubles and crosses he sends, all are because he cares. To kill our pride so that we repent. To humble us so that he may lift us up. To expose how foolish our pride and our ideas of self-sufficiency, so that we rely on Him, not on ourselves. That when we have no place to go, and when it is God who maybe puts us there, we know we always have some place to go. To Him. For he is the one who is able to help and wants to help and will help and has come to help. For who is this? The disciples asked. The very Son of God in human flesh to save you. Because it's easy to go cruising through this life. Yeah, pun intended. When the waters are calm and the living is easy, it's when trouble hits that faith is revealed and where your faith is. And that's true for you as an individual Christian or when we're all together in the boat as the church. So when troubles come, when storms hit, and they show your weakness, they show that you've really been going along with faith in yourself, they show your inability, they show how unable you are, thanks be to God that we turn to Him now and rely on Him now. That's what St. Paul said. Folks, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. So we humble ourselves now. And we repent now. And receive His forgiveness and life now. And we remember our baptism now. And remember that those waters aren't meant to make us better swimmers, but to kill the old sinner in us and give us a new life now. And we hear the Word of God proclaimed now, calling us to faith in Him and not in ourselves. And we feed now on the food our Lord gives us. For that's His answer for all time to the question, don't you care that we are perishing? He replies, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how much I care. Given and shed for your wrong faith, for your pride, for your vain self-sufficiency. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you because I care. Given to you now because I care that you are perishing. So now, you can depart, not in fear, but in peace. Peace, that's the same word spoken to the wind and the sea, now spoken to you and your heart. Whatever troubles you, whatever is frightening you, whatever is threatening you, whatever is haunting you, whatever worries you, your past, your present, or your future, peace. You have the one who is greater than all. Or maybe better to say, He has you. He has you in His hands, in His eye, and in His heart. Is sin the problem? Jesus died for your sins on the cross. They've been paid for, atoned for. You are forgiven. Peace. Is death the problem? Jesus died your death and then broke it in His resurrection. It cannot hold you anymore. When you die, your life will continue new in Jesus. You will rise with Him. Peace. Is life the problem? Because no matter how hard you try, you just can't do it. You keep falling into the same traps and temptations. You keep messing up and failing and kicking yourself. Peace. Jesus did everything. It's not up to you. All that is necessary for you and your salvation, and He's in the boat with you. Though ascended into heaven, He's not left, but is here, as He promised. And He sent His Spirit, as He promised. And He's coming again, as He promised, because He does care. Always. And He's not stopping. Ever. But sometimes it takes a storm to teach us that again. And to expose us again. If so, how fortunate we are to have a God who sends us not just nice weather, but those storms that we need. And who even more is with us Himself in them, to see us through, to give us peace, to save us who are perishing. That we never have no place to go, but at all times and in all places, wherever you are, however you are, go to Him who came to us, who is working all things for your good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.